Welcome to the PDR Workshop Podcast, where we provide information about the paintless dent removal process, anywhere from the best business practices, tech tips, and even tool recommendations. Don't forget, you can always join us and engage with the community during our live show every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on YouTube. Thank you for listening and enjoy.
Good afternoon, everyone. I want to welcome you to the PDR Workshop live show that me and Dave put on every Monday. I want to thank you guys for joining us again. And we have a topic today. What does it cost to set up to properly set up a paintless dent repair company in, I guess we should have put like in 2019 or something like that, or the truth of what it costs. What do you think about that title, Dave?
Yeah.
Sounds a little more enticing, right? All right, guys. Where we learn how to do the job. Okay, so we got some questions coming in. Thank you for the questions. Just keep them coming. We're going to try to get through them. To go over everything, Dave, do you want to introduce yourself?
Dave from Windy City Dent Repair out of Chicago.
And Chris, Dentless Touch, Washington, D.C. So like every show, we go over some tools. This time around, guys, we heard you. You want more tools, so we're bringing more tools online. So let's start it off. Dave, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Perfect. It's something that I've used in a lot of my bigger repairs, a lot of my big smashes, which you guys could see on YouTube or Instagram. I have two different kinds. I prefer one over the other, but it's going to be the Kiko Super Tabs. I love these things, especially for big damage. I use these with the Kiko K-Bar. There's all different sizes. This is like a small rectangle. You got a big oval. You kind of have a smaller oval. I love these things. They have a screw at the tip there with kind of like this washer, this plastic washer almost.
Nice.
Fits perfectly in a pretty much any slide hammer that I've owned. But also with the Kiko K-Bar. This is the ice tab. So it's that clear ice tab.
Yep.
Material that they have. This one's actually perforated, so it kind of has grooves or little dimples on the end of it.
Like a golf.
I'm looking on their website. It doesn't look like they offer these anymore. Now they just have smooth ice tabs. Okay. And same thing with this other one as well. It's got this golf ball-y perforation to it. So $60 for this pack and then $65 for the ice.
Okay.
So I found for some reason, I don't know why, the ice work better. They're a little more rigid. They're a little tougher to bend, whereas these have a lot more flex in them. And you can bend these a lot more. They can kind of curve to the panel a little bit more. But the ice tabs just pull so much harder.
Wow.
I really, really enjoy these tabs. Like I said, I use them with the Kiko K-Bar mostly, but they also work with the slide hammer as well. And these are just used to in the beginning of a repair, typically just to get the bulk of the damage up. So if you've got a nasty fender, it's going to bring a lot of that meat up. Quarter panel, a lot of that meat up. And then you're going to go on with the smaller tabs that we brought on the show before. A lot of the gangrene is what I use, the Black Plague gangrene tabs. Some of the tequila tabs, Atlas tabs is what I'll move to next after I start with one of these Kiko Super Tabs.
Man.
So yeah, I mean this is
that's,
you know, this, it's a serious tab.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's a serious tab. So it moves metal. I mean, this thing, I layer it up with glue. And it moves metal. I mean, it will stick, and you can pull and get the bulk of some big damage out really, really quick, rather than trying to kind of piece it together with smaller tabs.
So most of the time, you're doing damage like three times as large as that tab, or I mean,
yeah, I mean, like if you have say like a bedside that's smashed in, this is gonna help me a lot more than something that's only 1 to 2 inches, 3 inches at most, tab wise. Thus, you can kind of fit and get the bulk of that damage out with a couple of these on there. There is one video in particular, I believe, that made me get these, and it was Mike Toledo's Miata video.
Okay.
From like 20, whenever that was, and he did that smash quarter panel. I'm like, oh, I need those. So that was one of the videos that made me get these. And that was almost 10 years ago now. So I love these tabs. Like I said, I have the ice ones. I like them a lot better. They're that clear plastic material that Kiko offers rather than the regular, you know, blue or whatever it is, just the regular Kiko tabs, super tab.
So I know you can take out that bolt or that nut, the screw, right?
Yeah.
And then add like an eyelid so you could kind of chain it to stuff.
Yeah. The same, it comes right out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they offer on their website as well some bolts that you can, and they're $10 each. Steel eye bolts for the super and heavy duty tabs. Yeah.
Calling them eyelids. But yeah, that is what I have, so I can hook it up to a come along. And actually put tension. So that's kind of how I use it. If I have that smash quarter panel, I'm pretty much trying to go to the Glexo glue and hoping and praying that pulls, which is so much quicker to deal with that glue than actually waiting for your glue gun to warm up and stuff like that. So looks like Riley Dent Company just tried out the Glexo. So please, I guess, leave in the chat what you think about it if you haven't already. Yeah, it looks like you haven't. So. Yeah, let me know what you think about that Glexo. It's the first time me doing anything with cold glue, and I am in love with that stuff. So Ryan from RPS begged me to get it. He said, you're a fool if you don't have it. So since Glexo has some nice shiny tabs, I said, well, let me go with that company. And I don't know what took me so long. So definitely have to get that if you're a PDR technician for sure. Dave, is that all the tools you have, or do you have more?
It's just these tabs right here.
Perfect. All right. Well, I have a few. So this is the Dentcraft Whale Tail. It's unique because I use the pink one, which starts right at the very edge of your handle. But what always happens is your knuckles and your top of your thumbs, you know, you see the damage. I can move my finger. Anyway, you see the top of my thumb is always damaged because, you know, when you're sliding this tool in, you got the bracing and all that stuff that you just get in contact with. So they came up with this unique design. It's nothing new. I am just first to adapt it. And all of my whale tails that are probably under, I would say, 4-5 inches, maybe 6 inches, have this unique handle on it. And I'm pretty sure it makes the tool more durable because it kind of comes off of the edge here. And now this one is all like one tool. So this whole handle here on the backside is actually the tool. So it won't actually break off. This is the 3-inch version, the standard from Dentcraft. And it's only $55 for this one that you're seeing right here.
I love that whole set. I think that set is priceless, especially like for hail damage. I think it was Tony Antonelli a couple of years ago is like, if you don't have this set, you're missing out. And I was like, oh man,
your arm. I mean, I got to get used to it because I'm used to kind of getting real close. But yeah, Dave, this is money for sure.
Yeah, I really enjoy that entire set.
So all my guys that are getting into this, your business for yourself and social media, this tool I got from Mike Toledo, I actually purchased for all my guys. It's actually a stand for your cell phone so you can take those nice selfies. He actually mounted his DSLR or mirrorless camera, wasn't really a DSLR. But he actually mounted his camera and it extends, and then you pretty much have your selfie cam. So you can post those little nice, those nice pictures on social media. So I use this a lot in my videos. You probably saw it in the last 5 or 6 videos. It's like $22 from Amazon. I recommend you guys getting this if you guys are interested in doing some selfies of your work. And last but not least, I think, Dave, you had a tool on last week that was similar to this, but this is my, like, money tool. If my black handle doesn't have the throw, if my PDR finesse just can't get it, this bad boy will get it. It actually has so much of a kick, it will actually come around and come up underneath that brace, kind of like one of those brace tools that you see. It is a ultra dent tool, and I just looked it up. It's very inexpensive, actually. Let me get the name for you guys. It's a 24-inch standard double bend, 65 degrees. So this tool part number is 3804. It is only $85 from Ultra Dent Tools, guys. I don't know where I purchased this because I definitely didn't purchase this tool. It was probably in a kit that was laying around that I was able to just grab tools from as, I guess, one guy quit or something, probably over 10 years ago when I was working for another company. But this tool has saved me at least once or twice a month. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have it. So wanted to show you guys that. Dave, you,
is that a blade? Is that a blade tip on there, or is that like shaved at the end?
It definitely is shaved.
Yeah.
So, but you know, Ultra Dent Tools, whatever the metal they use. Again, this tool is 10 years old. The purple is actually like a dark blue, like a violet color. So you can just see the age on this tool, and you know, no rust, no anything. I mean, this thing gets abused. So definitely a good.
Yeah, mine's A1 with a bullet tip.
Okay.
But I'm sure that one looks actually just even a little more stout than the A1 version that I have.
Yeah, most of the time, and it says it's a 3/8. It doesn't have it. Yeah, 3/8, which is weird. So it goes, you know, into majority of the factory holes. And just because it's shaved, you're able to just get underneath bracing and all that stuff that, you know, you just take advantage of.
I actually have that tool right here. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Let me see. Let me see if I can show yours here in the photo here. Come on, work. There you go.
So yours comes up a little bit more, but this is like a longer reach at this first like 45.
So yours is very actual like 45. This is a 60. See how it kicks back?
Yeah.
So I don't have your tool, or I have a version of it, but it doesn't have as much throw on that second, that middle one. Yeah. But there you go, guys. Maybe get both, because I do have something similar to Dave's, guys. So I think we had a question at the beginning, Dave. Did you catch that one before we start into the tonight's topic?
Yeah, he just asked, where you learned how to do this job, or how did you find out about this? And as I always say, I was a porter at a body shop, and I was sweeping up glue tabs from the current Hail Tech in there. It's Chance Stevens, actually, out of Texas, Decatur, Texas, with the Texas Hail Company. Ooh. And I was sweeping up his glue tabs. And didn't know what I was sweeping up. I just knew that I was always sweeping them up. I told him I wanted to paint cars. He said, no, you don't. And he said, if you want to be around cars, then get into PDR. I said, okay. And then that was it. Game on from there. That's how I was first introduced to the entire thing, just watching him just fix cars in a body shop.
I'm pretty sure nowadays you are not the only person that has a similar story about that one. I knew nothing about it. My dad told me it was a good idea. I was going to school to become a mechanic, and that's what I wanted to do. Didn't really care what my dad thought, but he said, try this out. I forget what the deal was. Just try it out. What do you got to lose? I forget what he told me. Anyway, I said, no problem. What I got to lose? And yeah, here I am right now. So it worked out. Any other questions before we get into the topic, Dave? I didn't quite skim through here.
There's a couple in there.
You want to address them, or you want to keep moving? Do they both work the same? So cold glue set, looking at the tab tape or Glexo is what Dr. Dent Auto. So I asked that question because I only have the Glexo. So I asked that question to, I believe it was Mike Toledo. Anyway, it was someone that had both. And they said that the Glexo pulls a lot harder.
Than the tab tape?
Than the tab tape. So from my experience, I don't know because all I have is the Glexo, but I know the Glexo pulls hard. So, you know, if you want my opinion, just get the Glexo, but the tab tape may be the same. I don't know.
I just like the whole overall package for the Glexo. I think that's kind of irreplaceable.
Yeah.
And like the cold glue. Yeah. Just that box, that nice box that it's set in.
Yeah. And it's something that you don't have to keep calling Glexo to say, hey, I need some more, you know, of the glue or anything like that. I mean, I've had mine. I actually started seeing how aggressive I can leave those tabs. And I mean, as long as they're kind of in a container by itself, they seem like they won't go bad. So it's not a wear item too much. Even if it gets dirty, it's not that bad. So, all right. Any other questions, Dave? I'm just skimming through here.
Who makes that cell phone tripod?
Sam Tree, Smat Tree. So it's SMATREE. And you can find it on Amazon. That's SMATREE. And shout out to Mike Toledo for giving me that recommendation. He pointed me into, you know, use that, record on your cell phones for some of the close-up shots, and then use my faraway shot. You'll probably see it in the last video, on the Hyundai video, me going back and forth. I did a little nice edit on that. So very good, inexpensive. What is it, about like $20? I see you click the link, Dave.
Yep, that's up.
Yeah, $20. So again, it can hold a DSLR, at least a Canon M50. That's what Mike uses. If you see it in his little videos, he uses that to hold his M50. So it definitely is a sturdy holder. All right, so let's get into the topic, Dave, unless there's another question.
No, we're good.
All right, cool. All right, guys, I get asked this a lot. I am probably going to do a video on this soon, at least for the tool side of things. But it is, what is the true cost of starting your paintless dent repair business? So just to give you a little bit of information, it looks like there was a study done back in 2009 where the average startup cost is $30,000. Now, they're taking all different types of business, from cleaning businesses to the online businesses, everything. Now, this is 2009, so I believe they were on like an iPhone 2 back then. So maybe online businesses weren't that prevalent.
That's prevalent.
So they're saying 30,000. Obviously, I would say maybe double that in 2019. So what do you think about if we double that, 60,000 to start your paintless dent repair business? Dave, what do you think about that? Is that an accurate number for you?
60,000?
Yeah.
It seems a little bit high. I think the 30,000 is actually pretty accurate.
Okay.
You know, I think mainly due to like the way marketing budgets now can be kind of, I think, less than what they used to be.
Of course.
Back in 2009, like you said, online businesses or online marketing wasn't as prevalent. So you had to do that like boots on the ground style marketing, flyers, door to door, signs.
Get right now.
Yeah. You know, and like that costs a lot more money than, you know, quick ads on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, stuff like that. So, but somewhere in that range, yeah, is definitely what it does cost to start a PDR business in 2019.
So let's break this down, Dave. Let's go over why did we choose this topic, Dave? I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but why did you choose this topic?
I just feel that, you know, we do get this question asked a lot. And as you can kind of see just from the first question that was in this chat, I was wondering, where'd you learn how to do this, or how'd you find out about this? And we get that question a lot. And then the next thing is, how much does it cost for, it's typically either tools or training. It's one of those things. How much does it cost to get PDR tools? How much does it cost for PDR training? Right. So, you know, this is kind of all encompassing this topic here. What does it cost to start a PDR business? All of those numbers are also associated with this entire topic.
Yeah.
Because it's not just those two things that's going to deem you successful in PDR.
Yep. And I think, I can't remember where this topic came up. Might have been in our Facebook group, but he was talking about the Amazon tools. And, you know, we don't want, I've never ordered Amazon tools. You know, obviously that's not where you should be buying tools. But if you're looking at that cost of that set and saying, oh, I can probably get that set, start my own little company, that's probably the worst way to look at it. It's probably money thrown away. You might as well, you know, light your money on fire. At least you get some heat from it for the night. But so that's what stemmed this question, this topic for us, or for me, and Dave told you his reason. So let's break down some of the things that you have to watch out for. So we're looking at, you know, training and the time for training and training costs. Now, I had the honor to, I believe, talk to Chris. I believe his name is Chris at Ding King. And we were just calling different companies to find out what was their prices of training. And pretty much the average training price was around about six grand a week. Right? Wasn't that, Dave? About
six yeah. Grand? You're anywhere in the realm of six to 15, I would say. Just depending on the company, depending on, you know, is it a company? Is it a vocational school? Is it a trade school? Is it a person?
Right.
So you're anywhere in between, you know, I'd say $6,000 to $15,000.
At $6,000 to $15,000. For training guys, there's a lot of good guys that are probably training, you know, I think it's cheaper. I believe Top Gun was a little cheaper. But anyway, that was the average between 6 and 15 to properly train yourself, roughly around 2 to 3 weeks, which we all feel that's not enough to really be proficient at this craft. I think 3 months of training is probably good enough to kind of work on a wholesale lot. Everybody's different, guys, but I haven't met a guy that has 3 months training and could just knock out, you know, work left and right. Have you, Dave? I mean, maybe I might be wrong. You were
I can't say I have. I remember, you know, and I was trained by one of the best companies out there, and it was 2 months of solid training, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 every day, nonstop pushing. And after those 60 days were up, I still had no clue what I was doing, you know, and that's being at the top of the class, understanding all the material, understanding the tools and how everything worked. It's just that repetition of hand-eye coordination, getting the feel for the tools, just takes so long to really grasp and understand and get your body in tune, you know, with the service that we're performing. And it's a very, demanding skill, just because you need that practice and that repetition. You know, I tell body guys all the time who look at us and say, man, you made that money, you know, pretty quick. And I said, look, man, I could come in here and apply for a job, you know, and be a body man. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I would not know what I'm doing. I don't know how to mix Bondo and slap it on the car. And you know, I know, like, I could see the process and it looks easy. You mix it up, you slap it on the car, you sand it down, it looks smooth, then you give it to another guy who goes and paints it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that, but that's still going to take me time to learn. And
I think it takes everybody time to learn, at least even in that trade. I mean, I know a lot of guys have been working underneath a skilled body man for, you know, 6 months, a year, and they still quite can't handle the jobs that, you know, the other guy can.
Yeah.
Especially on speed. So, you know, this is a craftsman, you know, a craft, you know, so you're a craftsman. So you really have to hone into this skill. I mean, it takes months, years. I'm still learning. I'm actually going to go to a class this year. So I am still learning 14 years in. So for someone that's 3 to 4 months, you really probably want to do some continuing learning. So let's just say 15 is the number. As far as tool expenses, Dave, what do you think you actually currently drive around and like everything under the sun? If you had to, God forbid something happened to your tool. Maybe your van gets flooded. What would you ask the insurance company?
Easily 20.
Yeah, I think so.
Easily $20,000. And that's with every miscellaneous little item in that truck.
Yeah.
That I use, I don't want to say daily, but that I do use to perform paintless dent removal. You know, that's probably like, I'm going to just ballpark. but it's just north or south of probably about 20,000. That's not including all the extra lights and the extra tools that I just have in bins and random bags in the garage. So, you know, and that's just all stuff that I've kind of gone through and, you know, I don't use this anymore. I don't use this anymore. So I'm going to take it out. But yeah, for something that I ride around with every single day, it's probably about 15 to 20,000.
Trent said, quit sugarcoating it. Everybody, a year out sucks. It definitely does.
Yeah.
I don't know a single person that had fun their first year. So definitely agree with you on that. Now, Dave, we are already at 35,000. So you said 30 now. What happened? Now, these are hypothetically numbers. They're obviously the escalator. You don't have to spend $15,000 on training. Cut costs where you can, but make sure you get good training. But currently right now, if you spend $15,000 on training, if Dave loses his truck, he will be at, you know, 35 grand. And we still have different processes like the setup process, the marketing budgets, the vehicle purchase, the recurring bills that you just you accumulate. You got, you know, insurance, professional fees, and business registrations and stuff like that. So we're not going to bore you with all of that stuff. Because
but those are all those numbers associated with all of those. Those are all costs that I feel I know I didn't realize probably going into this, starting the actual company. I there were costs that I didn't realize until I talked to other technicians out there. Ryan from RPS told me about commercial insurance, and I remember I was saying, "Yeah, I'm gonna get a Ford Transit." And all right, yeah, go get one. So I go get a Ford Transit. And I'm like, all right, cool. He's like, well, are you going to wrap it? I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll figure it out, you know, what I'm going to do. And I finally wrapped it and I showed him a picture and he's like, do you have commercial insurance? I said, well, for what? He's like, well, you're riding around in a wrapped vehicle. You know, if you happen to hit someone or someone hits you, it's not just you, Dave, and that Ford Transit. It's you, Windy City Dent Repair, and that Ford Transit, that commercial vehicle. And so that was like a cost that, you know, and these were just things that I didn't know at the time.
Right.
And so, that just kind of crept up.
So that's going to spark something. I want to go over some of the things that just was unexpected on the bill side. Rob said, before we go into that, Rob said, you know, that's a lot, you know, collecting tools. I don't need that much your first year.
You don't need that much, he's saying.
So I have a package for my guy, for my guys. Their first package, when I outfit their van, I have a budget, and it's $7,400 in tools. Now, I do give them $1,200 to spend because there may be something that they see. I want to encourage them to open up a magazine, play around with the tools, get stuck, and then order some tools. Now, so they spend roughly about $800-$900 of that. So we're already at roughly around like $8,500, pretty much the first three months out. Now, now I don't know how you learn or how quick you learn, but normally around 9 months to a year, they start calling me going, hey, I can't get to this dent, or hey, I can't fix this dent. And a lot of times it's the tools that they have. So when I get there, I try to use my tools. I try to use the tools that they have so I can show them. But a lot of the time, especially, you know, my skilled technicians, the ones that are learning very quick, I'm going to my vehicle to pull out some specialty tool. And then they kind of give me that look like, well, I don't have that one. So I couldn't. Why was I sent out for this one? So then that bill quickly becomes between $4,000 and $5,000 more tools. So just to start within the first 9 months, you know, I think the startup cost was probably somewhere within the first year, you know, to kind of collect everything in the first month is ridiculous. So let's say the startup is the first year, cause you're still building the business, obviously, you know, probably forever. But, so in that year, every bit of $12,000 is spent here at 12 to 12 to 12 to 12 5. So, just to give you some feedback on that, I was waiting for Lee to come in here. I literally wanted to text Lee and say, yo, let's get you on the show tonight. I'm sorry for the short notice, but he is sharing some information. Lee has, I think he's a fairly new tech. I'm pretty sure of that. But he is doing it right. I love his setup. I love everything he's doing. He's creating a social. He is really, really kind of, you know, going, you know, 110% into this business and just all in on his company.
Yeah, I think what I see with him too is that I think he's taking tidbits from everyone out there right now, yeah, and applying it to, and really applying it to his own business, which I
yeah,
see it and I love it. Yeah. But yeah, he's 8 months into it now.
Okay, so 8 months in, has a great following on social media, likable personality. I mean, great guy. If you ever get a chance to meet Lee, I mean, absolute humble, shows empathy everywhere. But he's spitting the truth here, guys. He was trained by Mike Toledo, you know, has learned, you know, good knowledge, but he's giving you the setup and everything that he has on that, in that regard. So let's, I think Slick was talking about what he wants to, he wants us to bore him. So before we bore him all those little
numbers,
little items here, let's go over some of the things that were unexpected costs that some of these guys that are thinking about setting up just flat out just, you know, are overlooking here.
Yeah.
You have one, Dave? Or?
Well, at first I was doing just the cost of it, because I was doing everything on paper.
Okay.
I had gone to the UPS store. I had gotten write-up forms or write-up sheets for my lots. I had made invoices for the company. And that was every bit, I think, of like $600-$700. And I was like, oh man, it wasn't probably any more than 2 to 3 months after that expense.
Uh-huh.
Mobile Tech RX came out.
You were like, oh, this sucks.
And they're still sitting fresh in the package, like not ever used. But that was now, like, so that was an unexpected cost, right? And that was a big one for me,
right,
starting out $600-$700 just on paper. And then all of a sudden now I spend that money. Now all of a sudden I have to go purchase another software. Now that's a recurring expense,
right,
every single month.
With a printer.
We'll say it again.
I said, and also a printer, you know, that.
Yeah. So, So I got the software. I'm like, okay, cool. I can start emailing. And then I got turned out to the Workforce Epson, the Epson Workforce printer. I'm like, yeah, oh, now I got to get the printer and I had to get paper for that. I got to get ink for that. Just that little, the whole thing alone was huge.
Yeah.
Especially like just in such an infant stage in the business, expenses like that were tough when they came up.
Yeah. You know, to go back to Lee, you know, to Ding King, I'm sorry, to Ding King, you know, he's building the most ideal company. He's in it. Like I said, he jumped in it with 2 feet. So I love his model that he set up here, guys. So we're not just trying to tell you to spend money. You know, this is what you need to do it, but this is actually what you need. We feel as though you need to run a successful, to have a successful paintless dent repair business, because you know what, me and Dave and people like me and Dave are your competition. So if we have those rare tools, if we have those tools to actually get the dent done, and you tell that customer no, well, guess what, you're losing market share just that quickly, and you haven't even been out for over a year. So take heed to what I'm saying, and you know, if this is your career path, you just need to invest wisely into it. You know, going in a little bit of photography, you won't go into a point and shoot and start shooting weddings, because you will get blown out from the people that do have those $4,000 to $10,000 type, you know, setups.
Who have invested into their career.
Yeah. So anyway, so the one thing that that was unexpected for me was insurance. You had to get garage liability insurance. And I'm not gonna lie, I went a couple of months without it. Someone scared me. You know, one of my mentors was like, oh man, you want to get that. The cheapest thing you're going to pay for is insurance, because if something happens, you're going to be with a lettered up vehicle. It's going to be rough. So I said, all right, well, you have a guy. I think it was WB Brown or whatever is my guy. And I've been with him for a very long time. He set me up with a garage liabilities garage liability insurance. It's somewhere I have a, like I said, I have a bunch of guys, so I'm paying somewhere around $350 or something a month for that insurance. I got other buildings too, so. But that was an expense that I did not calculate. Now, as I hired employees, workers' comp was the one that really, really crushed me. Like, I did not know anything about workers' comp.
And it's required in your state, though, correct?
It is required after your first employee. So that threw a curveball into my hiring process for sure. Also, professional fees, my CPA, setting up a bank account, setting up my business license, getting everything squared away with that. Seems like there's an echo. Maybe this may help.
Yeah, getting a good accountant is a great thing, but also an expensive one. You know, it's a great expense to have, but if they're able to, you know, to get everything done right, especially in our business, it's a great benefit to the business. It's just expensive. You know, there's times where I'm, I think it was two or three years ago, you know, it was like $1,500, $2,000, something like that. And that was personal because he does personal and business. But that was setting everything up. So,
yeah. My best recommendation, guys, is to definitely get a good CPA. And I was recommended through another paintless dent repair guy. So I didn't have to explain everything to him.
Same here. Yeah.
Oh my God. So, definitely recommend, reaching out to someone that's in your field in this industry and, you know, find a CPA that you can trust. If you're in the area of, looks like there's a slight echo here goes, guys. But if you're in my area, I can recommend someone in Virginia. If you just reach out to me, I'll give you his information. Very great guy. Now, also, what are some of the recurring bills that started since day one, Dave?
Truck payment.
Yeah.
Insurance payments. Mobile Tech RX. QuickBooks in the beginning.
Yeah.
These are just ones off the top of my head. You know, you have your gas every month. You have your
vehicle insurance. All that stuff. Is anybody you think with this potential?
I'm trying to think of what else off the top of my head is recurring. Because it's recurring, it's hard to remember because it's just like it's one of those you just kind of expense. You know, you just kind of take into consideration for the year. I'm sure some guys could probably come up, gas and breakfast. I'm sure guys can come up with some other ideas here.
Crazy.
That are just recurring either daily or monthly.
So I put down networking. So let's talk a little bit about networking, marketing, all that good stuff. I think this is the nitty gritty of kind of your first month's marketing that, you know, you may not kind of put on your list of things that you need to, you know, as an expense. But one thing for me is the logo. It cost me roughly about $200 to get my logo. Dave, what did it cost you?
The first time I did it, I think I paid like $100. And it's actually this logo right here. This is one of the first logos that I had. And
I'm glad you changed
it. I liked it. You know, it was nice. It suited me. I felt like, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And then I ended up having Nathan Pizzo, and you can find him on some of the PDR Facebook groups and stuff. We kind of did this all-encompassing SEO, and so that's another recurring expense, website, SEO, stuff like that. And we kind of did this package deal where he revamped the logo, did the website, did all the SEO, all for just one price. So
would you care to share that price?
So he did everything. I think it ended up being just south of, think of like 3,000.
Okay.
And that was for a logo redesign, all of the SEO, the website build out, the maintenance of the website, anything that I wanted changed, stuff like that. I think the total package that he had sent me was just under $3,000. And I have had no issues with him. I was able to Facebook message him with any changes that I wanted. He had a couple templates from a couple of the other PDR websites he did. There were some things that I had taken from some of the other sites that I enjoyed. And we just contacted each other through Facebook Messenger. And I had no issues. He was spot on. He did all the changes pretty promptly. The logo I loved. If I needed a certain style of the logo to put somewhere else, a vector file or so, you know, whatever, if I needed something, he was there. And it was really, really nice. And, you know, there's a fee that comes along with that type of service as well. So that was a kind of a recurring expense, I think, of 100 something bucks a month. And that's just to stay on top of the SEO, to stay on top of the website and any changes that I did want made. You know, he's able to do it for me. So
now I did it differently. I had to talk back and forth and explain to people what PDR is. And
did you kind of piece it all together?
Yes. And I do not recommend anybody doing that. if I had to do it all over again, there's a lot of people with websites. Dave Stream, I don't know if he still does websites, but he does great PDR websites because he's a, you know, PDR technician. I think John Holly's getting into websites. If you go on his, I don't know the link for John Holly's websites, but I think it's on Dent Trainer websites or something like that.
And Nathan is Designed by Energy.
Okay, so Designed by
Energy. Yeah, I'll throw a link in the chat for you guys.
If you pick any one of those guys, it's just make your life so much easier because they understand paintless dent repair. You have to see the value and the time it takes to explain somebody that picture doesn't work. And give them a reason, give them the right picture. It's too time consuming. Just pay the money if you can to have a professional do the website for one and then put the right information there. So you're just not going back and forth as much. That is the one thing I wish I changed. When I first started this company, it was obviously 2009. And the gentleman, I'm sorry, at that time, Apple was given free website if you had an Apple called iWeb. So that was my first website. I actually bought an Apple just so I can have a website. I was like, I'll just do it. See, if anybody knows me, I always say I'll just do it myself. Probably the wrong thing to do 50% of the time. But I said, I'm going to do my website myself, and I'm working iWeb. And it was the most hacked up website, but it worked for that time because my competition didn't have anything much greater than what I had. But nowadays, this is kind of like your storefront now. So your website needs to be legit down to the T. At least that's what I feel like, just to get exposure. I think it's a great opportunity for customers to get comfortable with you, you know, to get familiar with you and how you work through that website before they give you the call. And a lot of times, even talking with Don, a lot of times you can kind of screen them, get your prices on there, screen what you can and cannot do. So it actually will filter the calls that do come in. A lot of guys, I don't want to get my pricing. I just want to see what they have. If you filter it, you get more time for the most important repairs, not just 50% of repairs or 50% of the jobs that are coming in are going to the body shop anyway. So that's my recommendation on that one, as far as the website. Now, marketing. Any other marketing ideas for brand new guys, networking ideas, Dave?
We've talked about this on a couple of other shows. Yeah. Right now, it is very easy to market or, you know, brand your company just with these social media platforms. They won't, I don't want to say they won't be around forever, but you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. So I think you do need to touch on multiple platforms. But it's easier, I think, now than ever to market to customers. A lot cheaper than I think what it used to be. You can reach a lot more people now.
Yeah, sure.
Than you used to be able to for a small fee, if anything.
Yep. Now, a lot of networking, we feel, and that's when we're going to talk about the networking and marketing side. At least I feel that stuff is going back to 2008, 2005. So that face-to-face interaction, not more so than, you know, even my videos, it's more of like me me talking to the people like a monologue. So I want to create that connection with the customer. And so face-to-face interaction is probably where society is going. AdWords, good thing, Rob. Definitely, I think it's the strongest advertiser out right now. Excuse me. It just puts you in front of customers. That's a good and bad thing, because if you can't talk to customers, you're just not familiar with that. If you can't do repairs and you just have a crap ton of people calling you because you're jumping on AdWords, that can hurt you. So limit yourself to that, because you don't want to expose yourself to something that you cannot do. So that's marketing. Anything you want to talk about marketing and networking, anything?
We definitely have a bunch of topics on this, and you know, if you guys really wanted to check it out, we have a couple other shows that we kind of go a little more in depth on networking and marketing, branding, stuff like that. So check those out. I think we kind of touched on the budget, at least for marketing right now. In the beginning, you know, I know mine was very small, my marketing budget, and it was a lot of free social platforms just to get the name out, and it worked. Little by little, I started adding a little bit more to the marketing budget. And I think per month, it was in the beginning, probably about $1,000 to $1,500. And that just kind of slowly increased as just more money was available.
Yep. Davis says, always keep a good sales plan and constantly improve it. I think when you're in business, you're the salesman, you're the finance guy, you're everything. You're an accountant, you're the technician, you know, on the solopreneur journey that you're going to be on, most likely. You wear a lot of hats. So anything that you're weak at, you might want to spend time with that. I am not the best salesman. I tell the truth, and sometimes that just doesn't work, or at least I cannot kind of give off a good vibe when I just tell it raw. But that is one thing I have to work on. I've over the years gotten a lot better to do sell. But work on some of the kind of your less experienced qualities so you can grow as a whole. So, and Brian's on here. He knows sometimes I can be a little blunt. And he sometimes has to say, I would have worded it differently.
Simtech, and I think you're a little more in tune with this, but Simtech said, even if you pay for SEO, don't you still have to do SEO maintenance? And I said, yes.
Yes and no. And I am not an SEO guy, but I'm also a guy that's trying to budget. And I always say I am not Target trying to beat out Walmart. So I do not need to spend $1 million on SEO. Now, if you are, you know, if your Walmart is Dent Wizard and they're just strong in your area, and I don't want to say just Dent Wizard, but any company that is very strong in your area, which a lot of times there are. Paintless Dent Repair been around for a long time. A lot of these companies have been set up for 15 plus years. So they do have a social media, a kind of a SEO presence, just because of just pure history. So in that case, to get you up to that first page, that's great. But like blogs and just the right keywords and stuff like that could just help you out. Now, again, what if a giant comes in, wants to just take over that area? You will be leaving the door wide open for that. So it's kind of
where if you don't maintain your SEO. Right,
you don't maintain it, yeah. And so if you're always on the top page, that's great. If you fall second, then you may want to start growing that. Me, I always strive for the top two, not the top three, top two. That normally holds, at least in my area, for you for about a year. So I don't have to touch it for a year. So that's just me. I go on 1 year, off 1 year on the maintenance. That's just for what I do in my in this area. Let's see. Anything else? Yeah, multiple truth is obviously working for you. Yeah, it is, but it's tough. I often get reminded of working solo is less complicated. So sometimes I'm trying to revert back into that little, the old Chris. But
yeah. And we'll even just what does it cost? We had a poll in one of our Facebook groups.
Yeah.
Right, in a Facebook group. And we just asked the poll, how much did it cost to start the, you know, PDR business? And, more than half. Yeah.
So here's the poll, guys.
Yeah.
And our Facebook group. And yeah.
20,000 plus was, you know, the most voted.
Yep. And this was a month ago we did the poll. So it shows you 20,000 plus. So just like Dave said. Now, a lot of these guys are very successful at 10 to 15, it looks like. I know some of them. And then, you know, 5 to 10, you know, maybe they're, you know, I don't know. We haven't gotten into details for this. I don't know what Zan's doing with this 1 to 5,000, but maybe he clicked wrong. So maybe he clicked wrong. I don't know. Wrong one, but he's a very good technician. I think he won
the Den Olympics.
Yeah, Den Olympics last year. So, but yeah, guys. So that is it on the topic. Hopefully, we've given some insight on the startup costs. Before we go, guys, go ahead and put the thumbs up. Also, check out our podcast. We got PDR Workshop Unscripted video. Podcast, and this podcast will be up. Also, Dave, now that you know everything, what is your price for a startup?
Yeah, we'll go with your 60,000. I think you can do it for 30.
Fair game. I think 30 is a good number. 60 if you want to go, if you got some change and you can, you know, but I think you'll quickly go through 30, especially again if your startup budget is within the 3 months of you physically going out here and get work and learning this craft. I think you will quickly go up to 30,000. Dave, if anybody wants to stick around, we're going to be talking about a little bit of books. But if you are heading out, don't forget to hit that thumbs up button, share this video if you can, whatever you can to help us out. We greatly appreciate it, guys. But Dave, what book are you reading today?
Damien. So I finished Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse, great book. And now I really like the author, diving a little deep into him. I am now reading a book called Damien, by Hermann Hesse as well. So. Ooh, that's where I'm at. What about yourself?
So I finished I Move Your Cheese. Great book. It's kind of like version two of Who Moved Your Cheese? Who Moved the Cheese, I think it is. So Who Moved the Cheese is about, you know, when stuff doesn't go your way, it's to don't think about, you know, the problem and just always find solutions. But this one helps out for if you think you're going down a path of just narrow mind. So it's Who Move Your Cheese. I won't tell the story. It's a short book. So anything I give you off of this book, you're going to kind of, I don't know. It's going to be a spoiler for you. It's a very, very short read, but it's a very entertaining book. The author, Deepak Malhotra, I think I'm saying that right. Anyway, he is a Harvard professor. And if you go on YouTube, I sent
That's his book. Yeah,
that's
okay.
Nice. But I am reading this book right now called Small Giants, and I think it's reversed for you guys. But anyway, it's called Small Giants, and it says companies that choose to be great instead of big. So it's by Bo Birmingham, I guess is the pronunciation of it. So I am looking forward to reading this book. It's probably going to be taking me about 3 weeks. I am a slow reader. So it is what it is, guys. Try that book out if you want to. But anything else we're going through here before we let out?
Okay. Rob asks, is there something you pumped money into and it didn't pay out?
Ooh, great question, Rob.
I've been trying to think.
I dumped money into... Ooh. What did I dump money? You know what? I think the biggest is tools. There are some tools that I flat out just do not use.
I agree. I
don't see myself using ever. Almost to the point where I leave them at home, which is crazy.
So Rally Dent Company says Yelp.
Yelp. I just
Yelp worked for me.
It does?
It did. Yeah. I mean, like I stopped. I was advertising for a bit and it worked. Over time, the leads kind of did get a little hairy, and then they were just asking for more money, so I just eventually stopped. But I just advertised, I think, the second year in just for another avenue. Yeah. I think it was $300 a month I was paying, or whatever their first tier is. And my justification was, if I get one repair out of there, you know, from Yelp, I'm going to most likely pay for the service itself. So I did, but then I cut it off quickly, I think, after that second year. So
I think,
but Chicago, I mean, Yelp is pretty prevalent here. So
yeah, it goes for the area, because I think Mike is like a Yelp fan over there in LA. Mm-hmm. I mean, not LA, but San Diego. So over there in the West Coast, Yelp is strong. I think East Coast, Yelp is not so much. The only reason why Yelp is so good over here is because it's attached to iPhone. If they did not have iPhone, especially over here, they'll be absolutely done. I just got my first Yelp review today. Customer found me on Yelp, and I put a coupon code just to see how many people actually go to Yelp, Yelpers, as they call them. And the coupon been out for 9 months, and I have the first person use it today. So, and I took off the advertising a week ago, and then there you go. So anyway, he must have been saving that coupon or whatever the case may be. But over here, Yelp does not work. My second thing I probably spent more money is probably the revamps of the website. I've probably revamped my website about 5 or 6 times, each one of them costing me roughly $1,000 to do, and that wasn't smart. So that's why I always am adamant about, man, maybe if you pay the $2,000 to $3,000 or $4,000 if they charge you for a website, if it's a great website and it stands out from your competition, I don't know, man. I think I would just go with that one. It would save you some aggravation for sure. Anything else, Dave, before we head out of here?
That'll be it.
That's it. I am a Bitcoin holder. I love Bitcoin, David. So I got in early. So it's still profitable for me. Was it beautiful? Recorded it. Okay. All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining the show again, especially for the guys that stuck around and talked with us about the books. Dave, do you want to say anything to the viewers before we head out?
Thank you all for watching. Like Chris had said, you could find us on iTunes right now, PDR Workshop, for our podcast. Share this whenever you can. You can contact me typically through Instagram, DM me at Windy City Dent Repair. Thank you, guys.
All right, guys. Peace out. Yeah, have a good night. Thank you.